It's my pleasure to welcome our Minister of Police, Mr. Beck Cele, to the show. Mr. Cele, thanks for taking the time out to come and visit us. Good morning.
Morning to you and the listenership.
You know what? Firstly, thank you for taking the time out. You know, not all ministers and people in government will ever make time to come and speak to us and the listeners. And it means a lot to us. We thank you for that.
Oh,
we really do.
Yeah.
And we hope you're going to have a good time here with us this morning. Firstly, you are definitely the coolest looking minister this country has ever had. I want to do the Becky Cele look on my next tour. I also just love wearing black. It's just those hats that I've got to master.
Thanks for flattering. Okay, I accept it.
So, since you are the police minister that knows how to dress, yes or no for the moon bag? They're saying this is coming back.
For who?
I don't know, people.
Lisa, all of us.
Lisa Laurie, she says that...
Everyone, yeah.
That this is the next thing.
Well, all fashion is recycled. There's nothing new.
The true story. This is from the 90s.
Fashion, yeah.
And it's back again. So what did you want to become when you grew up? Did you always want to go into politics or...?
No. It's apathy that... I listened to one reverend preaching in the funeral this week. And they called apartheid. And they say, well, this guy grew up in America, not yet.
Apartheid.
It was the first time I heard it that way. So I think the apartheid sent me to politics. My father was a railway worker, and he grew up there. And I used to visit him. His boss was a white man and the compound manager. But my father was called Induna. I'm sure it was a crime to call blacks managers that time. And then they would tell me not to leave school early. I wanted to be an attorney. I don't want it now. They stay long at school, so I tried to stay long after my father has died. I went to him and I said, look, my father is dead. Can you help me to continue at school until I get my degree? And he said, well, it was the policy of railways that time that you can't teach a black child because there'll be nobody to carry the big bags to the trains and all that cartridge that time. And I said to myself, I'll never carry the heavy bags. And then I went to school, but that conscientized me, told me that was something wrong. That's how that was one hit that conscientized me political to join politics.
How are you feeling about your portfolio right now? I want to go as far as saying that you're probably the one guy that we have the most expectation of. Most South Africans look up towards you to find a solution for crime. I think it doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter where you woke up this morning in South Africa. The one thing that's probably first in your mind is to get through the day without becoming a statistic. It doesn't matter whether you woke up this morning, doesn't matter, in KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng, the Western Cape, crime is something that's on all of our minds most of the time. So you are the one man that we look towards for solving this and making South Africans feel safer. Do you feel that pressure on your shoulders?
Well, I'm not alone. I work with about 192,000 people. That would be South African police staff, including the administrators and everybody. You feel the pressure. You can't be a South African given that responsibility and don't feel the pressure, as you say. But you mentioned three provinces. I think it is in the conscience of all South Africans that those three provinces you mentioned are extra burden. Your Western Cape, your KZN, and this Gauteng on different ways. If you go to Western Cape, your gangsterism is quite heavy there, and people, they die there. Remains the leading city in terms of murder, especially Nyanga and those Cape Flats gangsterism. If you go to KZN, political killings, as you come here. Here is those trio crimes that makes you fear as you wake up. Last year alone, financially, 22,000 cars were hijacked in this province alone.
22,000?
22,000, yes. So that gives a lot of fear in the people to be hijacked, the house break, the house robbery. House robbery is a terrible thing, because for burglary, they wait you to get out of the house, they get in. For house robbery, they wait for you to get in the house.
Yes.
And they come in.
Yeah.
And that is scary.
You never know.
Very scary.
My greatest fear with the crime being as heavy as it is that we forget people. That we forget names of people that got affected by crime. I had a look over some of the headlines from the last week only in South Africa. You know, that the 10-year-old girl who was raped 900 times, Stacey Adams from the Western Cape, she's six. Her body was found in a shallow grave. Kanyisile, who from Prasa, who was driven around the boot of her car. Jeffrey Zettler, stabbed six times. These are names that come into our lives via the news. And then the next day, never mind the next day, the next hour, there's new names. It's just too many names of people and families and stuff. And that is why it makes your portfolio so incredibly important. We want to hear fewer names. It feels to me like it's out of control. Is it out of control?
Well, the names you hear are pretty few. I spoke to the launch of the Karabo Foundation. I was invited to speak there. Chulpe, Karabo, Yoyende, and there was Stacey. Fortunately, I visited the family of Stacey.
Mm.
So you hear those. But there are thousands and thousands of nameless and faceless.
That's it.
So that their weight is heavy, and I agree with you. Mm. Those that you don't know, you've never heard of them. And
you'll never hear their name in the news.
Out of control. In some areas, we have reached the proportion of crisis, especially crimes against women and children.
Sure.
Stacey, I visit. You heard the news. I met the parents. I met the young mother of Stacey. This guy who killed Stacey is a boyfriend of the mother, 25-year-old.
Mm.
He's supposed to be protecting this girl, this little one. Went home because the girl knows him, joined him. Because I'm not going to repeat the medical report of what happened to that girl.
It's too horrific to mention.
I just couldn't take it, so I'm not going to report. Mm. But it was terrible, terrible, terrible. Why? That's the next question. Why men are behaving this way, I just cannot tell. I have no theory of understanding why we behave the way we behave.
How can we stop them? You're saying that there are certain areas in South Africa, and I'm glad to hear it from you, where you say it's crisis proportions. It's out of control. What can we do? Do you need more policemen?
No.
And women?
You see, again, speaking to the Karabo Foundation, there's been a lot. I think it's across the board, across the racial understanding in South Africa. There is a lot of emphasis on the girl child and less on the boy child. That's one area we need to deal
with. So it starts at home?
Yes. We say, boys, you are mancho, we are a big brother to girls. Boys can go play outside, girls must come in, boys can come late and all. And that sticks in our minds that we're better than the girls.
Are we teaching our boy children wrong?
Exactly.
That's what you say.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.